What's up, everybody? Today, we're talking about the mental challenges of entrepreneurship and what our mindset is going into 2023, especially after a very challenging year filled with entrepreneurship.
Stick around.
It's definitely been 10 seconds. I'm on my own.
Oh, I thought you wanted a kiss.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Queer Collective Podcast. My name is Carbon.
And I'm Emily.
And welcome to the show.
Yeehaw. So, today is kind of one of our first few episodes back, and I feel like I have some things that I needed to get off my chest.
Please do tell us. What's on your chest?
Titties. Today we're going to be talking about what we've been up to for this past year, because for the true fans of the Queer Collective Podcast, you know, in the last episode that we released of the previous season, we said that we would be back after 1 month.
Oh my gosh, look at that. It's been a year.
Oops.
That month really flew by.
We're really excited to be back, but there was a lot of challenges that we faced this year, and we feel like we need to talk about them before we can move on and be fully lighthearted, I think, because it's been a bit of a challenging year. Alongside all of that, we're going to talk about the specific challenges of entrepreneurship. And I feel like this isn't just going to relate, I guess, to entrepreneurs, but it also relates to artists, because you are running your own business in the same kind of way that we are too. Yeah. Even if you're side gig curious, or you want to make yourself feel good about your corporate decisions.
Yeah, then it'll probably do that too, honestly.
Yeah, you'll be like, oh, thank God.
Or FOMO.
Yeah. You'll be so jealous.
I want to be in pain.
So we're going to give you all that plus our 2023 mindset, because we're definitely feeling a lot better going into this year. Usually the new year isn't like a huge thing for me. It had been such a challenging year for us that I felt like I needed to do a lot of self-reflection this new year. And I'm coming in hot into 2023, and I have some bold ideas.
Bald?
I have some balding ideas. Let's talk about what has happened this year. So Take us through it.
What happened was, in literal on New Year's Day, let me start all the way there. On New Year's Day.
Oh, yeah.
Because, okay.
That is a good place
to
start.
The thing.
Emily, this is going to be a better episode than I thought.
Okay. Emily is convinced that for one reason or another, I have some psychic abilities.
Emily's correct.
I don't. And she's not correct. More so like intuition, I would call it. So literally on New Year's Day of the last one, not this recent one, we had spent the day with our friends celebrating. And then on New Year's, like, you know, when the clock strikes midnight, fireworks started going off. So we decided, hey, let's go for a walk. It was a super, super foggy night. So the park was extremely eerie and extremely foggy. And what was interesting was that the fireworks, you couldn't really see them, but you could hear them. And it must have been because of the fog, but the fireworks sounded, I kid you not, like what you'd think bombs sound like as they're hitting the ground. It sounded extremely warlike, like you see in the movies, extremely eerie. And something like that was just like sort of really setting the tone for me as we were walking through the park. And all of a sudden, I was hit with this sort of like overwhelming feeling of, I felt like, you know what? I think this year we're going to struggle a bit. We're going to struggle financially, which is going to affect our mental health, which is going to affect our energy and essentially everything that we do. I was afraid to say it, but I did say it to Emily. And Emily was like, nah, it's going to be fine. We're thriving. It's all good.
It's like, at this moment, we were doing pretty good.
We were doing well at the time.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't shake the feeling. I was like, no, I think that we're going to struggle. Or at least I'm going to struggle. Like, that's the feeling deep, deep in my bones. The thing was that I didn't want to manifest it. So I kind of like buried it a little bit and just kind of kept hoping that that feeling would go away. Several financial struggles came. The biggest one, of course, being going from full-time employment, getting a salary, to all of a sudden being sort of like
unemployed.
Thrusted into is
sexy. Sexy unemployment.
We were thrusted. We had to figure it out for ourselves. And that was a very, very scary thing for the both of us. We knew that that would come, but we didn't know how soon.
I was kind of like being an optimist, I guess. Like everything had been working out pretty well for us. Like we had these creative jobs where we were just getting paid a full-time salary. We had just gotten a raise at work, and that allowed us to move into a new studio space where we could film everything, because in our last update we mentioned that we had lost our free studio space. So that left us without a space to film for a while, but we found a new place to live slash work that was like thanks to our boss giving us a raise. So to me in that moment I was like, we're doing really well, like we just got a raise, like we're moving into a new place. We're moving out of this like share house that we've lived in forever.
Yeah, like we had just gotten that. We had just gotten the raise. And I was like, I think we're going to struggle financially. And she was like, you're kidding.
It's like, that makes like, no sense.
Like, yeah, and it didn't make any sense. It was just like a strong intuitive feeling. And you know what? Like months before becoming fun employed, I had once again this really strong, like overwhelming intuitive feeling that it was about to happen. I guess, you know, part of what I've learned there is to listen to my intuition more and not necessarily be afraid of something like that happening, but rather like using it to prepare.
Yeah.
So if you got psychic abilities in ya,
don't ignore them. Thankfully, our boss has been also our mentor and didn't lay us off like in a mean way. It was like she wishes she could have kept
us on.
She thrusted us into sexy unemployment and obviously like has helped us tremendously as well.
Yeah,
but nonetheless, like it's been a challenge, like,
for sure.
We're living,
because no matter how much help that you have, it's still up to you.
Yeah, 100%.
You know? You can't expect it to be done for you. That's what employment is for.
And we've kind of taken it as a gift, I guess. Like, I never would have made this call to do Queer Collective full-time right now. But here we are. And we're taking it as a gift and as a sign that this is what we're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And we've pushed ourselves to be doing it and to be pitching to people and making Queer Collective happen. But I think... part of that and part of this kind of like whole mental piece is that now that we're trying to do Queer Collective as our full-time job, I feel like it adds a lot of pressure to everything that we're doing.
Absolutely.
And that's part of the mental trip for me.
Huge.
And that was especially part of this piece around the podcast, because the podcast used to be something that we did just for fun.
Yeah.
And it was something where I didn't really care. Like for us, before this point, we were completely self-funding Queer Collective through
our full-time jobs,
our full-time salaries. Like we were just taking any excess income we had and paying artists through it and like making this programming happen. Occasionally we would get a sponsor, which was really helpful.
Extremely.
And that would make it so that we could do something really magical. But like 90% of the time it was very self-funded.
Yep.
And now that's something that we can't do anymore, because we need to find ways to make our own salary and fund our programming, you know?
Which is extremely challenging.
Yeah.
But the thing is that, you know, with every single sort of thrust, sexy thrust that you get in life.
I'm getting a visual.
With every sexy thrust comes a new lesson is the thing. And that's what we are continuing to learn. So some of the challenges have of course been like, where are we going to get this money from? Where are we going to, like, how are we going to pay ourselves? How are we going to pay artists? How are we going to create programming? Like, what is even our business model? Like, these are all things that we sort of had to figure out and are continuing to figure out. Because previously,
on Love Island,
our salaries, the entire business model was like
stupid. It was a non-business
model. Get money. We spent all the money. Something that we have recently, I'm talking like last week, have come to realize is that you can't, as they say, put all your eggs in one basket. You got to take some eggies out of that basket.
Did you get this lesson from Love Island?
I can't just put all my eggs in one basket. No, got to spread them around.
Yeah. Still open to meet new people.
Yeah, and keep them on your toes.
Yeah, keep my options open.
Yeah, get to know everyone. So the business lesson is that you can't depend on just like honestly, one income stream. I think this goes for like majority of people, honestly, like people with side gigs, people who are freelancers, people who have their own business. Like even if you own your own business and you focus down on a niche, you can't depend on just like one. For example, if you're selling a product, you can't depend on one product. Or, you know, you have to have like an array. Yeah. Same thing with like what we're doing is like, okay, where can money come from? And then we're like, okay, we can come from here. And then we started only depending on that stream. And then we realized if somebody, like, say, for example, it's sponsors. Well, if a sponsor pulls out, we're done. We're doomed for the most part. So we got to think about, like, okay, where else, right? And then maybe it's, like, over here. Maybe it's grants. Maybe it's, like, providing a service and, you know, charging for it. Or maybe it's, like, a product or something like that. And it really makes you think about, like, how can I diversify enough that if something falls apart, it's okay?
I think one thing that this whole situation has shown us is that no job is ever going to be completely safe. Mm-hmm. It's kind of just this illusion in your head of safety.
Absolutely.
Because it seems like a big business. But one thing that I've really been noticing, especially like kind of scrolling through LinkedIn, as I do, I guess.
Come on, businesswoman.
Is that so many people are getting laid off from their like corporate tech jobs right now. And really, having this corporate job is such an illusion of safety, because really to these people, you're just another like cog in the wheel. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And honestly, like, you have like this perceived safety, but you hear all the time, it's like Google laying off this many thousands of employees, or Amazon or Tesla or like Facebook, whoever, like they're all laying off so many employees. And it was like, okay, like you're working at a Fortune 500 company and it's like, oh, now you're unemployed.
Yeah.
And you thought you were safe, but you weren't.
Yeah.
So there is no such thing as like true safety when it comes to like a job.
And for us, it's like we thought like our full-time job was kind of like somewhat of safety for us, but it was still like a risk at the end of the day.
For sure. Everything's a risk. Everything's risky.
Yeah.
There's levels of riskiness for sure.
Yeah.
But nothing is like 100% safe.
100%.
No, not 100%.
100% that it's not ever 100%.
Okay.
Now that we've talked about like what has actually happened this year, I kind of want to talk about the mental challenges of entrepreneurship. I'm sharing these because, one, I feel like I need to get them off my chest because I don't have insurance and I can't afford therapy anymore. But also, I'm like hoping maybe someone else resonates with this, because anytime I hear, even if it's like a panel discussion or something, and somebody's talking about these feelings, it kind of makes me feel less alone in them. Totally. And it makes me feel like I can do it. I'm like, okay, that person is even more successful than I am, and they're struggling with these thoughts frequently. You know, so it's like these feelings are normal when you're trying to do something that people haven't done before. The first thing is this kind of mental dance that I've been doing in my head, where it's like either 10 to 50 times a day. It really depends on like how on the ledge I'm feeling.
Oh my God.
And then usually it happens when I'm laying in bed trying to fall asleep, but I consider giving up. And it's like these thoughts in my head where I'm like, it would just be easier to just start applying for jobs and to have something that feels quote unquote safe, and where I don't have to worry about all this admin stuff. Like, where is my next paycheck going to come from? Like fundraising.
Yeah.
Every time I'm feeling exhausted from trying to fundraise and trying to pitch to sponsors, these thoughts start to come.
Yeah.
And this, I'm calling it like a mental dance, because that thought pops into my head and it's kind of like this angel devil kind of situation where... Yeah. The devil saying these things, and then the angels on the other side, and it's like, no, you can do it. Hashtag girl boss.
All the time I say to myself, like, if I just like freelance for this person or that company or whatever, then I would have more money. It's like, well, what kind of content do I want to be making? It's like, do I want to make their content or do I want to make my content? And that's the hard part. It's like believing yourself enough to know if I make my own content, eventually it will pay off much bigger than if I make content for other people. You know, I've often thought about like joining like an agency where I'm like an editor or like part of the crew, like filming or whatever. Part of the freaking crew, man. I like calling the shots. I really do. I often think about the alternative, right? And I think that's honestly, that's what's keeping me like here.
That's part of this mental dance, though, that I'm talking about is the alternative. Like, yeah, thinking about that, you know, yeah, and like you go back and forth and you're envisioning these two different lives. Totally. And that's what it is.
What would happen if I gave it all up and went a completely different route? That alternative is what keeps me coming back to this. I'm seeing like, no. I want to make it work. Mm-hmm. But it's hard, man. The hardest part is not having like a clear roadmap, to be honest. Mm-hmm. How is this going to like pay off in 5 years? How's this gonna pay off in 10 years?
Yeah.
How's this gonna pay off literally like next month?
You know? And you don't know, and that's kind of the uncertainty of starting your own business that isn't necessarily like a business that other people have done before. And then I think another element of like these mental challenges of entrepreneurship is the anxiety and how time consuming all of the admin stuff is, and if the fundraising piece. So like thinking about how you're actually going to make the money to do what you want to do and how you're going to like keep track of it and make sure everything's like good in terms of taxes. That stuff I found feels like a full-time job. Now I think we might be working more than we even were before when we were doing Queer Collective and had our full-time jobs.
Yeah.
Because now I feel like I can only do the creative like fun things over the weekend, really. Because all week I feel like I'm focused on the admin stuff, on like the fundraising pieces, on all of those things.
Totally. There's a bigger barrier to entry, which is financial. Mm-hmm. It's time. It's energy. It's ideas even. Like that's a barrier as well. Like if you don't come up with good ideas, you suck.
Yeah. And a piece of that too is like burnout. And being so busy to the point where you never are bored leads you to have no good ideas.
Totally. Yeah. That's another big thing. Like if you're never bored, then how are you going to come up with stuff?
When are you going to be creative? There's no time.
When are you going to think? But that's also why not everybody does it, right? Mm-hmm. Like everybody can have a job. Mm-hmm. Everybody. Everybody can have a 9-to-5 job in some field, some area of work, like almost everybody. The thing is that not everybody can have a business or can be a freelancer because it takes a certain amount of organization.
Je ne sais quoi.
Je ne sais quoi. You just don't know. It takes a little bit of it. You have to have all sorts of skills that you might not have been previously trained for. And now you just got to figure it out and you got to learn. And you either got to like take courses or watch YouTube videos or read books. And that takes a whole lot of extra energy and effort. And the thing is that when you do entrepreneurship, it's you're the everything team for a long time until it becomes, you know, like financially feasible to have a bigger team. But like we've said many, many times before, I think the alternative, in my opinion, is worse.
I've never been the kind of person that can listen to other people very well.
No, you don't. You don't even listen to me.
No, and I'm not good at taking direction.
Nah, you don't even take it from me.
I don't like it. And I don't like constantly doing the same thing. Mm-mm. Over and over again.
No, I hate that.
I get very bored.
It drives me literally nuts. Okay, but here's the thing. If you are choosing it, then you made your choice, you know? Like, obviously, you can opt out and go back if it doesn't work out for you. But don't be constantly complaining about it or seeing the negative side to it only, or saying that it's too hard or this and that. Like, if you're gonna do it, commit to it. The hard parts, like, you kind of have to take it, you know, and like figure out a way to make it not so hard and figure out a way to make certain things more enjoyable or more feasible. The freedom, the money potential, the ability to travel, all these different things, like that's the glorified parts, right? And it's easy to commit to that. Everybody wants that, but it's not easy to commit to the grunt of it and like being stressed all the time and working way harder and way longer than you were at like a 9-to-5 job. But if you're gonna do it, like you're committing to it and that's your choice.
I feel like this is you giving yourself a motivation.
Yeah, honestly, this is for me. I'm not gonna lie. I'm saying this for me. But I see that all the time on TikTok, on Instagram, like just like random people that I don't know, strangers, but like they're making content complaining about something that they chose, you know? So it's like, know your worth.
I think that's also just like a bit of a TikTok trend. Like it's like, woe is me, interact with my content.
I don't like it. Because it's one thing to be like, hey, this pointing something out and like be like, oh, this is like kind of effed up. Mm. But then it's like, what are you going to do about it? Are you just going to complain?
Yeah, so I think that's leading us into our 2023 mindset.
Segue.
Because 2022, I was just complaining. Okay?
Yo, me too.
That was me.
That's why I'm like, hey, don't do that no more.
Yeah. Honestly, it didn't leave us in a better position. I was feeling really unhappy, struggling with my mental health. And this year, we took like a month-long vacation to go see my sister in Australia, and we spent that time that time just like reflecting and thinking about what we want for this year and how we want to approach it, you know, and kind of what I've walked away with is three things. And the number one piece is, if I don't believe in myself, why should anyone else? So all of these people that I'm pitching my ideas to, your potential customers, if you don't believe in your own product, if you don't believe in what you're creating and what you're doing, why would anyone follow you? Why would anyone give you money, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, you have to commit to that too. You have to commit to believing in yourself.
Exactly. And that's been my mantra. It's like kind of when that like angel devil situation is happening to me, I'm like, if I don't believe in myself, why should anyone else? And then I'm like snapping myself out of it. It takes a lot of mental strength to do this.
Yeah.
And then number two is prioritizing my physical well-being. If I can't afford right now to go to therapy all the time, I need to make sure that my physical body feels good so that I have the capacity to work on my mental health and like I feel good in at least one way.
Yeah, that's big. And like something that I've noticed is like when we do take care of our bodies physically, because I no longer physically feel like crap, it like gives me sort of like the space to take care of other areas where I might not be feeling great.
Yeah.
But when my body also physically on top of everything else feels like crap, I just like I'm capped out. I have no energy for anything.
Yeah.
So it really does help a lot.
Mm-hmm. So for a bit of context behind that one, both of us were the kind of people that would like work out multiple times a week. And then COVID happened. We stopped being able to go to the gym and it really fell off. Both of us lost like all of our muscle mass.
We never got back on until now.
Yeah. Until now we're feeling motivated again. And the reason being is because we decided to splurge a little bit more money on a more expensive gym. And the vibe there is much nicer. They have like recovery rooms.
Yeah, it is much nicer.
There's a sauna that's currently broken.
And we can walk there.
Yeah, we can walk there, which is nice. I get my walk
in. Getting the sauna fixed.
Hopefully.
Have some patience.
Some patience. They have a little meditation pod. Like they have all of these like self-care kind of elements that draw me in, get me excited to go back every single time.
Yeah.
And we're spending, I think like double or triple the amount we were on Hone.
Yeah.
But for me, it's completely worth it, even though our budget's really, really tight right now, because it's taking care of myself and it's investing in myself.
That's a big thing that we sort of realized through our Aussie reflections. A big thing is like, honestly, we have some friends that like they go to F45. And if you don't know what F45 is this class-based sort of workout program gym. And the thing about it is, though, it's expensive. It's so expensive. We looked at the prices. It would have been like $400 a month. I'm like, no. And it's just like, whoa, how do you do that? How do you afford $400? Like, how do you justify it? And like something that we sort of realized on our own was that they just prioritize the things that are really important to them. Right. And like for them, class-based workouts really work well and like they love it. Right. So like they prioritize their physical health in that way. And they just like don't buy things that they don't need. They like save their money as much as they can. Mm-hmm. And they spend money only on health and experiences. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, what a lovely way to live. That's also the mindset of 2023, is investing in things that will enhance my life and that matter to me.
100%. And the way that I've been structuring out my day, that's been helping as well. This might help other people who have ADHD, who are also like working in creative fields where you feel like you need to get into your like focus mode. What's it called when you're like in the zone?
Flow state?
Into flow state. And that specifically helps a lot for us with editing work, with doing graphic design, like any of these creative things. I feel like I need to be in my flow state. And what really interrupts that is emails and like having to do this admin stuff. So what I've been doing for my day, maybe this will help you, is I start out the day, I wake up early, kind of do chores around the house, and then I answer emails. I do all my admin stuff for like an hour and a half, and then we go to the gym. I sweat it out, all of the bad vibes, the things that I don't like doing.
All of the email vibes.
All of the gross email vibes, I sweat it out. And then when I come home, we just create.
Yeah.
At least we try to just do that. The physical health piece is so important, and I'm realizing how important it is when you're trying to do something very mentally challenging, especially when you live in Canada and it's the winter and it's gray every day. It's like worst. You have to take care of yourself. So that's a big piece. I hope that benefits other people as well. And then the last piece is just getting it done. When I'm feeling really low and down, that's when I notice that my procrastination gets really, really bad. And then that fuels into my anxiety because things aren't getting done. Things are piling up. It's making me really stressed out.
Yeah.
And I've started out just specifically with chores around the house. I think you've noticed.
I have.
Chipping in more.
Oh, but it's taking the lead now.
But if I see something that needs to be done, I just do it. And I started out by doing it with chores because that's something easy. And honestly, that's a way that I used to procrastinate when I was in school, is I would clean the entire house because at least I felt like I was doing something productive that was going to help me, you know, outside of it. So instead of like just effing off and doing like looking at TikTok all day, I would clean the entire house. And now what I'm doing is like, if I see something and it can be done in 2 minutes, like if I see the dishes or if I see that the bed has to be made or the living room has to be cleaned up, et cetera, I'm just going to do it. And then that kind of sets off a positive tone for me. And I feel that way with work as well. Like if I see an email, I'm just going to answer it. If I like have a project that needs to get done, I'm just going to focus. I'm going to do it. I'm going to put my phone elsewhere. Yeah. And that's been helping me with my productivity and feeling like I'm getting things done and I'm on top of it.
Something that I'm trying to personally improve on is the daunting tasks. I leave daunting tasks until the very last possible minute, and honestly that has led to me putting things off for days. That has led to me putting things off for weeks,
years,
and even years. I have put certain things off that are daunting for years, and that's awful.
That's important things.
Very important things. Yep. And you don't want to be like that, because then it haunts you for literally years, however many you delay it for. Right? Like it can haunt you forever if you let it. So something that I'm really trying to tackle this year is to face those daunting tasks and just do it. Things that stress me out, things that seem really difficult, things that have a learning curve, all of those things that I would normally brush off and just like bury deep down until the next time it comes up, I'm actually taking action and tackling it and just doing it.
This was something that I actually learned in therapy as well, is like these small things pile up and cause so much anxiety. So just like getting things done makes you feel so much better.
In conclusion, you're a bad bitch and you should feel like one.
Yeah.
But if you don't feel like one, nobody else is going to believe you. So get to it.
Start believing
in
yourself.
Get freaking to it.
2023 is the year of believing in yourself.
Yeah.
And the strong mindset. I hope y'all continue to join us week by week as we have some nice conversations. We're going to be talking not only about our personal life, but also about like queer topics, queer current events. And I think we have a conspiracy theory episode coming up soon. Hit that subscribe button if you like this video, and we will see you
in the next pod. Peace.
Peace out.